How it all plays out on Wednesday night will be fascinating. Everyone's got their own theories about who's got the stronger side and who's the players in form and what's going to happen. We thought we'd go to a real expert and ask his opinion. The bonus of this, he just happens to be a tragic Liverpool supporter
Timing, James.
Dating back to the time that he played for Hull and went over and visited the club, and I think he was there in the presence of Craig Johnson. I think Bruce Grobbelaar was there. I remember a photo from his biography, his book, Sterlo. He's on the line, Peter Sterling from Channel 9. Why don't we have a chat to him? G'day, Sterlo.
Morning, gentlemen. It's been a good weekend.
Did you watch it this morning, Pete?
I did, yes. At the Cheers Bar in the city, along with a heap of other crazy Liverpool supporters. So it was a wonderful venue to be at. I FaceTimed Robbie Farah from there in the stadium over there, and he moved the camera around so I could have a look at where he was. And I had a mini version of that.
Sterlo, we're asking listeners this morning, how did they connect with their whatever club it happens to be, whatever sport it happens to be? How did you become a Liverpool supporter?
I'm not really sure, Jimmy. You mentioned the 80s, but I actually go back to sort of M&Q's Tommy Smith days. My favourite Liverpool player has always been Steve Highway, before the 80s type thing, or going into the 80s, sorry. So I don't know. I had a connection there, and obviously when I went and caught up with Craig when I went to Hull in the 80s, that even just reinforced it more. And that day that you spoke about was one of the all-time great days where he took me to Anfield, and about the only guy I didn't get to meet was Ian Rush. He was away on international duty, but Kenny Dalglish was there, Mark Lawrence and Alan Hansen, Ronnie Whelan, Sammy Lee, Grobbelaar, Alan and Ray Kennedy, who were both big rugby league supporters, actually.
They
in the witness area. So, that I've got a photo of that takes pride of place.
Great memories, Pete. And you've given us so many great memories in that State of Origin cauldron, and the countdown's on to Wednesday night. This time of year is so exciting, Pete. How do you see these two teams? Are we set up for another old-fashioned Queensland hijack up there on Wednesday night?
Well, we need to be prepared for that for sure, and it's a typical place to go. And I think during the week I saw that there'd been 55 games played at Suncorp/Lang Park, and Queensland won 35 of them, so it's been a pretty good conversion rate for them. But it's such an important thing to get away and get the first win, because it's a giant step towards taking out the series. So it's not an easy task for these guys. We've got five new faces. We've got an older face in Josh Morris coming back into it. And a lot of it will come down as to how they handle the environment up there. And I think it's really important for our boys just to get into that set to set against Queensland and not give away the first penalty, because if they can get a bit of a roll on and start getting some possession against us, and the crowd start chanting and the referees hear that in the back of their mind, it's a difficult place.
Mm. 13 games for New South Wales in a key position of halfback. James Graham made a really interesting point, and that is it's really hard to find form in a big game for a halfback, different for a forward. What's your take on Nathan Cleary? He's going to have to find form there, and would you have been, if you were coach of the side, backing him in to do so?
Look, I probably would have had Adam Reynolds there if he'd hadn't got injured in that game beforehand. And I know he came out and played against Parramatta, but I think that probably maybe put a line through the selectors, taking a chance on what he could do early in the camp. I've got no concerns about Nathan, to be honest. I think that the things that Brad Fittler has selected him on are the things that we will see, and that is a good kicking game, defensively very strong. Just basically getting the team into the right areas of the field that they need to be, and allowing Cody Walker to be kind of the instinctive player, where he'll be more of just being calm and collected. And I know that's, he's only a really young man, but having gone through the three matches last year puts him in really good stead.
Yep.
I think what got him over the line was that, going back to those things I just mentioned, Brad Fittler didn't see shoddy defence. He didn't see a terrible kicking game. So whilst he may not have been in form, the little areas that Fittler is looking for, he's not out of form in.
Exactly, yeah. Pete, you mentioned something earlier that struck me about handling the environment. It seems to me Brad Fittler has a way of making his players switch on at the right times. And I say that because even yesterday, here we are on the countdown to Game 1 of State of Origin, and Freddie finds time to go to the races for a charity function.
Yeah.
He's got the players doing a lot of media. He seems to be able to get the players to focus at the right moments, if that makes sense, Pete.
Well, he's done a great job, hasn't he, in a short period of time in a fresh approach in regards to allowing New South Wales fans to fall in love with the team, you know. And he hasn't done that specifically. Like, you know, Freddie's he's a complicated individual, but he's a really simple individual as well in regards to how he sees things. You know, he went a year and a half without having a hot shower. I don't think there's a lot of deodorant used there. You know, he's sort of concerned about what's going on in the world. And, you know, the very fact he takes the hogless, homeless to the hogs out in a country areas and lays turf. And, you know, he's engaged the public with this concept as well as the team. And he's done it because it's an extension of himself. And it's, you know, he's a fascinating individual. I love spending time with him.
Yeah.
And he knows the game and he knows people and he knows what it wins to take, you know, what it takes to win in these kind of games. So he's, you know, and he's true to himself. You know, there's nothing false about Freddie. And players see that and they enjoy that.
Yeah. Hey, we had your old mate Zorba on a little bit earlier who's saying it's been a blue wash of the Channel 9 commentary and, you know, it's blues everywhere from Fittler to Gould to yourself and he wonders whether there's going to be a balance for this State of Origin coverage. Can you take us in? And look, with Fatty Vaughton there, I think there's always going to be a bias for Queensland and quite rightly so. We understand that. Billy Slater's there, Jonathan Thurston, Wally Lewis, etc. In a production meeting...
Sam Thido.
It's pretty balanced, Jim. Pretty balanced.
I understand that. But in a production meeting, do they allow you to have that bias come out? I mean, clearly you're New South Wales and clearly Paul Vaughton is Queensland.
Yeah, look, things have changed around a little bit there, I suppose. It hasn't changed for me, Jimmy. I just call what I see.
Sure.
You know? Everybody at home knows that I'm hoping New South Wales win. But my job, you know, I've been doing it 27 years now, and I understand my job really well. It's to hopefully give a little bit of an insight to people at home as to what's going on in the game and to call what I see. And that's, you know, it's regardless of what jersey the player's wearing, you know.
Yeah.
Now, there's probably a little bit more of an emphasis for other people. I don't feel that. Nothing's changed for me. But, you know, I think for Paddy from day one, you know, I still remember in the, you know, the Mark Coyne try, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly, you know, and that's fine, you know. But for myself, nothing changes. We don't have a production meeting, certainly in regards to what's expected along those lines. They just, you know, what they're looking for is just these people who have been in these kind of situations before to allow that to come through so they can speak with some authority and some credibility on what you can expect to see at Origin, what it's like to be in that moment that they might be talking about because they have probably been there. So that's what I think the coverage is looking to draw upon, the fact that there's so much experience and so much knowledge about this particular concept as well.
Well said, Pete. Pete, can you take us your insight into the Queensland team, perhaps? And I guess we all look at this Queensland side and their strengths seem to be in the half with Munster and DCN, and particularly with that sensational player at fullback, Kalyn Ponga.
Yeah, and Cameron Munster. Yeah, it's a really good-looking side. You know, and I think the key to it is the fact that Cherry Evans is available. If Daly wasn't there, then all of a sudden there's kind of a domino effect and everybody else is playing in different positions, like, you know, Michael Morgan probably into the halves, and there would have been quite a reshuffle on the back of that. So I think that he's the key. I think the forward pack is very strong. It's a well-balanced side with Cherry Evans in that team. And I think, you know, Cameron Munster can expect a lot of traffic coming his way from New South Wales, because I have no doubt that the Blues' aim in regards to Cameron Munster is to tire him out and to and take away that energy that he has in key moments of the game. So he's certainly a key for them. It's a really strong side. There's no doubt about that. And I think, you know, a lot of people forget, I know that we won the series last year, but a lot of people forget they won the last game played between the two states, 18-12. At this venue, it's a real task, and as I say, game one is so important. You win game one, and it's 75% goes back to you, a chance of winning the series. So this opening 80 minutes, it's huge for both states.
What was your take on the new and improved Kevvy Walters, not mentioning the Blues during the course of the week? How'd you see that one, Pete?
I'm still trying to get my head around you. I didn't know whether to laugh or to, well, not cry, but I don't know. I guess it was unlike Kevvy. He's a pretty emotional dude sort of at times.
Yes.
He went above and beyond on this occasion. But, mate, who knows? Whatever, you know, whatever works. Kevvy's approach. I've got to say, I didn't lose any confidence as a New South Wales fan out of seeing that. Still trying to get my head around it. I haven't heard anybody kind of say... Exactly.
Well, I think we all are, Pete.
Reasoning, but it built things up nicely. It added to the theatre, which we loved before Origin. It was something we hadn't seen before.
Exactly. Yeah. I think we're all trying to get a head around it, Pete. Hey, Pete, some debutants for the Blues. One person I'd like to talk about in particular is Cody Walker. He's commanded his position, hasn't he, in this team with some stellar performances. He seems to have the right temperament, Pete, to handle State of Origin pressure.
Yeah, no, he's fine. And I wrote in the paper during the week, I think the one thing we've seen, the way that he plays, he slots in and out of structured play really well. And I think that makes him a really good foil for Nathan Cleary. You know, you've got to go in with some structure, but Cody, he operates between the two. You know, you don't see a lot of tries scored, even in the NRL, but certainly in Origin football, from structured play.
No.
But that makes a team feel good that they've got that kind of basis to go in. But it's all about, you know, the ad-lib play around that and the creative play and the taking of chances when they present themselves. And I think Cody Walker is very well versed in that style of game. So, you know, to me, he's like a bloke like Nick Kotrick. I've got no dramas about them going up there. They just seem calm, collected, even paying half. Nothing having said that, if I was 7'8" and weighed 15 stone and could offload and had a sidestep, I don't think it would worry me either. But, I think, you know, the five players that you mentioned on debut, they look to have really good temperaments. And Cody Walker certainly might be at the best of those out of the five, because he's probably that little bit older and not necessarily more experienced. He's certainly durable. I don't think he's missed a game. He came into first grade. It's like 70-odd games now, maybe 80, that he's played. So I think they'll relish it. And I do think that Nathan Cleary and Nick Kotrick will enjoy having Josh Morris between them. I think that will give them confidence and experienced head on that side of the field.
Just want to go back to something you said earlier in this interview, in that you call what you see, something that's been with me for 25 years, Peter. In 1994, there was a game between the Roosters and the Canberra Raiders at the WACA ground, and you made mention of me running the football.
It's always about Jimmy
and,
Pete.
Well, it is. And you said, oh, yes, Jim Smith. I was speaking to Jack Gibson about him. He described him as having deceptive speed. He is slower than he looks.
Yeah, your point?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I just wanted to get it off my chest. It's been there for
25 years.
Sterling.
Well, I don't feel as though I have anything to be sorry for, because I was that Jack Gibson what's calling what he saw. Not me. I think, you know, you'd agree with me that I did not come out and say, well, I think that Jimmy Smith looks slower than is deceptive. He's slower than he looks. That was Jack Gibson who said that to me. So if that's been something you've been carrying around for like years, you should have had a word to Jack when you had the opportunity to.
Yeah, too late now. So you're just the messenger, all right? Well, I won't shoot you, Pete. You better give us a tip for Wednesday night.
I think we win. Don't worry about margins. One will be enough, but I think we go up there and win, and then across to Perth and to a new venue, and that would be a wonderful place to wrap things up. But it was interesting. You know, talk about James Graham. I did a function with him on Friday night, and it was interesting because he's, I guess, I wouldn't say a neutral observer, but he's, you know, he wasn't born or raised in either state. And he said that he can convince himself that New South Wales can win this game, but then he looks at Queensland and he convinced himself that they can win it as well. And I think that was a really nice way to put it. If you sort of look at either side, there are great arguments for both these teams going in to game one. And let's hope we just get a great game with both teams playing to the best of their ability, and that they get to decide the result.
Can't wait for it, Pete.
Absolutely.
Can't wait.
Cash or invoice on Friday night?
It was a freebie from my friend Stephen Edge. He told me that it was a junior league fundraiser, and I found out it was the Dragon at that St. George Illawarra Club's main. Billy Smith was there, Craig Young. I'm expecting to speak to 15-year-olds, Graham Wynn.
He got you, Pete. He got
Peter
you.
Dow, Bob Millwood.
He's the best, Edgy.
Edgy's the best.
He's the best.
And I've got to say, it was a great night. Both James Graham and Paul Gowan were there as well. So it was a nice roll-up.
Fantastic. Good on you, Pete. I really appreciate your time this morning. Congratulations on the win of the Liverpool Football Club. And we're looking forward to watching you and all your colleagues on Channel 9. The broadcast starts from 7:30. I know there's millions around the country that will be watching it. There's
around
two
the world,
here
too,
at Club Marconi as well. Thanks, Pete.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy.